Dhanyavad Deepak Anand. Thank you Deepak Anand and dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. Prashanti is the abode of peace. Yes, but once you step out of this divine hamlet and you are in the world outside, unfortunately experiencing this peace becomes quite challenging. Especially in today's times, when not a day passes without the TV channels and the newspapers bringing us some news or the other which only saddens our being, if it is yet another case of huge misappropriation of public funds by the government minister. One day, the other day, it is the unearthing of a sophisticated nexus between businessmen, doctors and hospitals, which has led to systematic misinformation and swindling of hard-earned money of number of poor patients. The third day, it is the story of a corporate house with which impunity carried out its plans of launching a new product. Doesn't matter if it is detrimental to the health of the environment or if it is going to have an adverse effect on the emotional and psychological makeup of the younger generation. Well, I can go on and on, and this is not what I want to do. It is very depressing for me also to do this. All one has to do is to pick up any day's newspaper. And one often wonders, when is all this going to end? Isn't there a way by which there could be some change in this scenario, offering some hope of a future which is not so depressing? True, change is a must. And for change, what we need is change makers. We need those people who are inspired by a higher ideology, a higher goal than just aspiring to be the topmost executive of a company or multiplying the wealth of a firm 10 times in 3 years through innovation or smart competitive strategies, or traveling the 7 continents of the world in 2 years, gathering enjoyable memories. We need people for whom I, my wealth and my comfort comes not first but last in the list of priorities in their life. We need people who dream of not how to maximize the wealth of their shareholders but maximize the well-being of entire society. Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, once said, "A business that makes nothing but money is poor business." In fact, in 1970, Milton Friedman, the Nobel laureate economist, aggressively propagated the idea that the sole concern of business should be maximization of profit, and that it cannot accommodate a host of other, as he called, conflicting interests. It is because of the rise of such capitalism, which is so narrow in its perspective, that business, which originally started as a way of serving society by providing a few goods and services, dangerously today has turned into enterprises which have only wealth maximization as their compelling aim. In fact, the scene has only become more dismal with the coming of super capitalism in the current times, which is dividing the world into two halves and increasing the gap between the haves and the have-nots at an unsympathetic and fast pace, with the capitalistic frenzy taking over the corporate boardrooms. Anything other than economic growth of the company is overlooked, and any shortcut to growth, even though questionable, is welcome. This is the sad state of affairs today in most corporations, and for the world to change, a change has to happen in the mindset of the people who govern such organizations. A change has to take effect in the hearts of people who are going to be the leaders of corporate India or corporate America or any country for that matter. Margaret Mead, the famous American cultural anthropologist, once said, I quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, concerned citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Unquote. The world, therefore, needs a band of new leaders, be it in politics, business or sports and arts. What we lack today is enlightened leaders, charismatic role models who shine with the luster of their character and the power of their principles, who cultivate compassion along with competence, who promote sharing and caring along with profit making, who embrace human values and intuitive experience as gleefully as they welcome science and information technology. To command is to serve, nothing more and nothing less, French novelist Andre Malraux said. And Baba says, who are leaders? Baba says, selfish people are not to be reckoned as leaders. Only those who are selfless and do not transgress the codes of morality and integrity are leaders. A leader must have individual character and national character. With individual character, one may be able to sanctify and satisfy oneself at the individual level. But in order to be socially responsible and contribute to the progress of society, it is imperative to have national character. That is what Bhagwan says. Therefore, it is morality which makes a man. And in a leader, one must see the highest expression of this morality, of these virtues. In fact, it is to inculcate these ideals in the young minds that Baba established the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning more than 3 decades ago. And today, when we see the products of this sacred seat of learning distinguishing themselves with their attitude and value systems apart from their competence and intelligence, one is only filled with immense satisfaction and eager hopes of a better tomorrow. And today, dear listeners, we are going to discuss about one such illustrious alumnus of Bhagwan's University who has emerged as one of India's bright young leaders. The Economic Times, India's leading business newspaper, has picked 28 young executives from corporate India, which it thinks are the young leaders the world of business would do well to look up to. And one among them is Mr. Sohan Datta, who did 7 years of his college in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So how did Sohan Datta achieve this feat? What makes him so special? Who trained, guided and mentored him? And how does he feel now after having conferred with this award? Well, these are some of the things we will be dealing with and discussing in the next 60 minutes or so. But before we proceed further, let us first offer our loving and most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please guide us so that we may never ever lose this determination to walk on the path laid down by you, so that we persevere to translate our love for you into righteous conduct, into leading a principled life and into learning to serve, learning to lead a peaceful and contented life. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. You are listening to the Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. The time in the studios now is 8:40, and today in this fresh episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, we have the story of Mr. Sohan Datta, the bright alumnus from Bhagwan's University, who is standing tall today thanks to his sterling value system.
One more very important thing is, like, as I was mentioning before, is like to be, to do and to tell. You walk the talk. It's very easy to, you know, speak many jargons and give speeches, but when it comes to daily life, if the peers or the team members doesn't see you practicing and only giving bhashans, it doesn't work. But not many talk about the humanness, which is a very important aspect of not only life but business also for its survival.
So that was a glimpse of Sohan Datta, and we will listen to him more as we go along. But before we proceed further, let me give you a brief background of what this Economic Times Young Leaders Award is all about. The Economic Times, as many may be familiar, is India's leading business newspaper, and in the last 2 years they have started an initiative called the Economic Times Young Leaders Program, wherein they have created a platform to recognize and reward India's most promising young managers. This initiative is meant basically to encourage, identify and nurture such personalities so that they can take over tomorrow as future business leaders of corporate India. and this is open for all business executives between the age group of 26 and 32, especially for those who are not only at the cusp of entering the leadership cadre within their organization, but also those who are looking to improve their leadership quotient. So what this program does is, it administers a combination of assessment tools online as well as on ground, and all these tests culminate with face-to-face interviews with very eminent leaders from the corporate world. There are four stages of assessment, and those who qualify and score exceptionally well in all these four rounds of tests are finally listed and honored as top young leaders of India's corporate sphere. In 2011, 22 young professionals were selected for this honor, and in 2012, in the just concluded program, 28 executives were chosen to be credited with this glory, and Sohan Datta is one among them. Mind you, there were 17,000 applicants for this program from all over India, and out of this, only 78 made it to the fourth and final round, wherein they were interviewed by the Economic Times panel of top 9 CEOs. And from this 78, only 28 emerged triumphant. Sohan Datta made it to this chosen 28. And he did it with a lot of ease, as we will discover in this program. Interestingly, Sohan came to know of this award when he was in Puttaparthi recently. In fact, he had come to Prashanti to have Bhagwan's darshan after his recent marriage, and while he was here, he received this good news. And I caught up with him when I saw him in the mandir just a couple of weeks ago. So I requested him to come to the studios, and when he did, the first question I asked was this: what did you do first when you received this pleasant news?
The first thing I did, I came to mandir and offered my thanks, because it was Swami who guided me through, I know. So I was just a mere instrument, and he wanted me to play this role, I played. And next thing, I went to college, met all the teachers, and it was really nice to see them. I enjoyed seeing the amount of effort that they had put in over years to groom me, shape me. And if I can pay a small gratitude to them, you know, what else can be?
Sohan joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in physics in the Brindavan campus of this university in 2002. Later, he pursued his master's in physics in the same university, now in the Prashant Nilayam campus, which he duly completed in 2007. After this, he joined Wipro, one of India's leading software firms, as a project engineer. After working in Wipro for 3 years, he returned to Babas University, now for his MBA, Master's in Business Administration, in 2010. His management degree in Babas University done, he went back to Wipro, where he worked for another 5 months before moving on to Abhiva Systems in August 2012 as Assistant Project Manager. Currently, he continues to work with Abhiva Systems and is based in Bangalore. And as I mentioned before, the participants of this Economic Times Young Leader Program had to go through a grueling battery of tests, and the last challenge was the interview with the Economic Times panel of top corporate executives. I started by asking Sohan about this experience. But let me begin by asking you about the last stage of your assessment, because that is the final frontier that you crossed, where you were interviewed by top business tycoons, and you were face to face with Mr. Nitin Paranjpe, the managing director and CEO of Hindustan Unilever Limited, which is India's largest consumer goods company. So how did this interview go? How was it sitting in front of Mr. Nitin Paranjpe and battling his questions?
It was an enriching experience. I felt lucky to have got aligned to Mr. Nitin Paranjpe, because somehow I felt his value systems and the value system that which have been embedded over the years here as a student, I felt it was resonating, and somehow I was enjoying more than winning it or anything. That was not in my mind, but those 40 minutes, like each discussion we had over a horizon of topics, it was really nice about starting from whether it's a physics, whether it was business or the values, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa.
So you talked about all this? Yeah. What was the first question?
That was regarding my where I was presently working and experience, and slowly it moved to physics, seeing my MSc physics over here, and then it was how this place has impacted me.
So was he aware of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning?
Yeah, he was aware. And you know, on hearing the name of the institute, I could find a glow on his face. So somewhere he could resonate to the place. I don't know whether he's a devotee or not, doesn't matter, but if the values what Swami has preached and if people follow. One more good thing about him was, he is a CEO or a MD who has, you know, graduated from the lower rung to the top brass. So he could connect well all to the consumers, the society, and the different insights which he shared with me. Those were really enriching.
And you shared about your learnings and your experience
yeah.
in the corporate world.
And even more than that, my learnings in Puttaparthi and Vrindavan.
So what is the one or two important things that you shared with him which you felt really liked about what you said?
Like, two things I feel that made lot of difference on the interview was the value system that have been embedded into us and which we try to practice in the corporate world. Though initially when we undergo the courses and all those, it seems very theoretical, but when we really land in the corporate world, maybe unknowingly we, you know, follow those, and later on only when we reflect, we can relate these are the five, you know, values that we are practicing. And that is where, you know, it is making us a bit different from the rest who are not doing so. Talking of Satya, even speaking truth in the organization, maybe not always liked by everyone, even client, but people trust, you know, appreciating that, the honesty. I can cite an example. There was a client and we had a software development release. So while doing the testing, we found out there were some bugs, issues, which maybe client would not have found out. But I went ahead and informed the client that there are some issues. Though we are releasing it, we will be fixing those. This small, small things, you know, helped a lot in gaining the trust of the client. And thus, in a longer way, we got more projects from them. And the trust, the bonding, or the rapport that builds up on the basis of trust, because whether it's a family life, with the interaction, the relation with the friends, or corporate, trust plays a major role. And that, you know, that helps. The Satya is a, you know, sole pillar which helps you in that.
So did you share this with Mr. Nitin?
And you know, the best part was, when I was sharing this, he took out his notebook and he was noting down this.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. So what else you had chance to discuss with him in this interview?
There was one very interesting thing that happened. Actually, like on reflecting back, I see how this invisible hand of Swami helps us. Maybe at that juncture, we are not able to appreciate it. Only when we, you know, introspect, retrospect, we can understand what our Divine Mother, you know, pulls us through. My interview was scheduled at 11 a.m. in Mumbai. And I had to travel from Bangalore. So I had a morning 6:15 flight, and which was scheduled to reach Mumbai at 7:45. So enough time to get ready, change into formals and go to the venue. But after boarding the flight, the pilot announced that due to bad weather, the flight was not able to take off. So the flight was grounded in Bangalore airport for 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah. So instead of reaching Mumbai at 7:45, I reached at 10 a.m.
Oh my God.
So initially, I thought of, you know, going to my relative's house, changing and going, but there wasn't any time. So I directly headed for the venue. And since I wasn't aware of the exact location, I had to take a detour and all those. But by Swami's grace, I was there 5 minutes prior to 11.
Just 5 minutes?
5 minutes prior to 11.
11.
So I was heading towards the washroom to change into formal, because I was in jeans, jacket, with luggage's hand, because I was that I was supposed to travel back to Calcutta for my marriage. So suddenly a door opens, and from the conference room, Mr. Nitin Paranjabe comes out calling out my name. And I was caught with all luggages in my hand and totally unprepared. And I explained to him the scenario, the reason for the delay. So he agreed to give me few minutes to change into formals. As I was heading towards the washroom, then he called out my name and he told that he would prefer to interview me like that.
Okay.
So I didn't have any other option. So with the luggage in, I walked into the conference.
Oh, you walked like that into the room?
Yeah. Now I was thinking that maybe in a couple of days, when I was trying to reflect and think that in such a situation, like when you're already late, you're in jeans and all those going for an interview, you didn't get the time to change. The mental frame means, how could I focus back to an interview which is going to be such an important phase of my life? So then I was reminded of the days, of my MSc days, when suddenly Swami will ask for a mandir program or a drama. We have to, you know, prepare within 2 days. So you have to write script, you have to get prepared, assign roles. So maybe that is how Swami has trained us. So we were ready for anything at any moment. So maybe that interview I could go in with the in jeans and with luggages in hand, and maybe I could fare well. So, and that's the reason by Swami's grace I'm in that list.
And so mentally you are not perturbed?
No, means maybe the way I have been trained over the years,
yes,
I didn't feel that.
You didn't have to consciously do anything?
It was unconscious thing, yes. That was happening.
You went into the interview room with a free mind, and it was not an environment of tension as you entered.
No, maybe it was first 1 or 2 seconds when he asked, I couldn't say no. But then I was in, as usual, Sohan Datta, Swami's grace.
So it definitely was a very memorable encounter with the top CEO of the world for reasons more than one. And I guess every twist and turn in this tale had a purpose. They could have perturbed Sohan, and it could have turned into a nightmare. But it did not happen that way. And in hindsight, maybe this was so designed to give Mr. Nitin Paranjpe a real-life example of Sohan's mental attitude of staying composed even in the most adverse circumstances. A trait so vital for a leader. I queried Sohan further to find out what he thinks impressed Nitin Paranjpe more about his personality.
So can you reflect on what he asked you about you being a leader in the interview? Because I think this whole program is about nurturing and spotting young leaders. What you think he saw in you as someone who is really poised to become a promising young leader?
This is a very tough and tricky question, because I can't tell you what he saw me, as a leadership trait. Nor do I know, because any student who graduates from this place can be called a leader, because the way he is trained and groomed, the integrated way he has, you know, groomed. I think so. If you ask me, I can't tell that, but suddenly I'm reminded of an incident, like how Swami helps us. I was going for a long leave, so I couldn't actually prepare for the interview. I didn't get any time to go through neither a book or a journal. That delayed flight, the 2 hours, I didn't have anything to do. So I was reflecting on this word leader or leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying to assign 2 words to each of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out with, and maybe I can just blurt out the list. And maybe that I did on that day also, and maybe he appreciated that. For me, that leadership or the leader, like the words which I assigned to or which appealed to me most, like for L, is like love for the work.
Love for work.
Love for the work which you are doing. Yes. Until and unless you are passionate about what you are doing, maybe for a short term, the pay package you are getting, that can motivate you. But if you don't have the satisfaction, neither you will be able to lead, because you won't have your own inner satisfaction. And until unless you have that, how will you encourage the people or the team following you? So only when you are passionate about your thing, that whatever work you are doing, whether it's cricket, football, or the corporate life, or any NGO you are running, until unless you are passionate, things won't move. Second, L, I think so, stands for learn. Because learning is something we need to do on a regular basis, or maybe on a regular minute. If someday a person thinks that he knows everything, that is the day when the, you know, down trajectory starts for that person. Yes. Because you should have an open mind. You should never feel that you can't learn from your junior or your peer, or they look down upon you if you do that. Because there is no end to learning. You may not know everything. No one can be perfect. No one can have the complete knowledge.
The humility to always know that,
yeah,
I am on a learning
and
curve.
And accepting that there are things which you don't know and you're ready to learn that. So that plays a major role, because many a times acts as a, you know, block, so that you think what the other person will think that you don't know. But to come out of that is not easy. Maybe I'm also trying my level best to come out of
it. But at least you have that awareness that you should always be open to learn. It doesn't matter from whom, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter whether he is a student or whether he is your subordinate or a worker.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Next, the letter E. the two words that come into my mind are empathy and egolessness. Normally this empathy is something that people say, try to, you know, more sympathize with the word and try to feel like, try to make people more comfortable. But this has a higher meaning. Even it is very relevant in the corporate world. Like if you can empathize, empathize means you are putting yourself in the other shoes. So you can understand the peers, your juniors, your seniors, even the clients. So you know what is really expected. And if you can understand that, because a business survives to serve the society or the client. So if you can understand that, then you know what is the goal and the best can be given to them and happiness is ensured.
Fantastic. You said a business survives to serve society and the client. I think this perspective itself is so unique and perhaps missing in today's corporate India.
That is what is happening.
Because business today do not have this as the goal. Probably they have this as the goal in their vision statement and mission statement, but in practicality, many times I think
maybe
it boils down
to only two things matters.
Yes.
The top line and the bottom line.
Yes, yes.
Next is the egolessness that I was talking about. Many times what happens, suppose there is a discussion or something going on, we are trying to achieve a solution. If I cannot come out of my ego, the suggestion made by me, you know, finds a supreme or a priority, so others, you know, falls deaf ears to me. Yes. So the thing is that you should be open-minded to others' point of view also. And that can only happen if you can come out of your ego and even you can respect a subordinate of yours.
Then you welcome good ideas and suggestions from everyone.
Yeah, that is the thing. So that I factor needs to be reduced.
Yes.
Yeah. Then the letter A, that two things came to my mind were acumen and attitude. So this acumen is something which is very important. Like if you are running a business, no matter whether it is a $1 million, $1 billion business or a road shop, you know, small shop that you are running, that to get a holistic view, how each, not shareholders, but mind the stakeholders,
yes,
the society, the environment, each and every person, how they are getting affected and how better you can improve it. It's mainly, you know, how simple you can make the complex matter. Means from the complexity, how you can make the simplicity. Like if you can just focus on customers, cash generations, ROI, there are few things, whether it is a small shop or a $1 billion, these are the few things which are the basic pillars of a business. If anyone can understand that, I think so, for a leader it becomes very simple and he can guide others also on that path.
Your focus is always right.
Yeah, because you know the fundamental principles. Means you can build on top of that, but
yes,
if you miss those, you don't know when your business crashes down.
Yes.
Then is the attitude. This is something which is very contagious in nature. If you have a positive attitude, you know, it injects into the people who are working around you. Maybe not on the same day, but maybe in 2-3 days or in a long relationship. That positivity has a tremendous impact on the whole team.
Have you experienced this?
Yeah. Like, many a times, since I'm in the software development or project management, there are things like you close one issue and there are many more opened up and there is a deadline. So and that is the time if you feel things are not going to work out or something, or you don't think about the alternate solution, or you think about the normal procedure where things happen, that is the time you have to have a different attitude, a positive attitude that things will happen. Only thing we need to innovate, think out of the box, and this has worked out many a time. Means we have come out with solutions which were never thought of.
Not only you, your team also felt motivated.
It means it's not me alone, because I can't come out with all solutions. It's not possible. I may not be the best person, but they're a team. When you have the positive attitude, when they have this never give up attitude, no matter what, you know, they'll strive. And when you give your best, God takes care of the rest.
Wonderful. So what does D stand for?
D stands for direction and discrimination. Why do we need a leader? Is it required? Maybe we look up to a leader only when we are not clear about the future or the ambiguity. In the ambiguity, we are not able to connect the dots. So we need someone who can give a clear direction, who is ready to take the risk, not of only himself, but the whole team, a calculated risk, so that if something goes wrong, maybe he suffers most, not the team. So at a time when success goes, he can give the credit to the team, but for failure, he can take it. If we can have a leader who can, you know, show a path for people to follow and also in a way to empower them, that is something, you know, why people look towards a leader. And maybe that is something which is missing in today's social scenario, whether it's a business or politics. because somewhere the value system has been lost and people work more on their self-interest. And next is discrimination. This is something, maybe one of the toughest thing by leader, any person as such, because finding which is right, which is wrong, listening to the conscience when there are many lucrative offers, keeping values as undercurrent, keeping mind the long-term goal or long-term benefit rather than the short-term gains.
That can be very challenging.
Very challenging, because people may be putting so many questions.
Yes.
And that is a time how you stick to your principles and fight the odds.
Is that really doable?
Yeah, people have done it. So, it's doable.
Because at times what happens is, people feel that, you know, at some point in time, you have to let go some of your value systems if you have to grow. Is that true?
Maybe it helps them to grow only for a small phase, but it doesn't take them long.
To be able to convince your peers and your entire team, because even they are losing something in the short term.
Is that is where this comes, like, to be, to do, and then to tell. Because preaching is very easy.
Yes.
But if you can practice that,
if you can lead by example.
Lead by example, the people get conviction in you.
Okay.
So maybe the decision that you're making may not be conducive to everyone, but they have the trust. And maybe in a way that helps me is, like, whenever I'm in a dilemma like this, I can leave it to Swami, and somehow He guides me through. So that way I'm very lucky.
You listen to the voice of conscience, and then you are not over-tensed about it, because you surrender all the fruits of the action to Swami.
Yeah, that is, even for the interview with Mr. Nitin Paranjape, he asked me a question. So if you win, then what? Then somehow means after clearing the first stage or second stage, there was something in my mind. And somehow the whole journey, I never took it for myself. I had three people or the three things in mind. That is, if I win, I want to offer this a gratitude to Swami, Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, the teachers who have put so much effort, and my parents. And maybe to see the happiness, and I know Swami is also very happy, the teachers and my parents, that gives me joy. And nothing much has changed for people who knows me from the day the results are out and the day prior to that. I am the same, so and that the only thing, you know, people are wishing me, that is the only difference, nothing more.
So when he asked you what difference it would make if you win or lose, Mr. Nitin asked you that question.
So as these are the three things. If I win, I want to for them. Otherwise, I have to carry on with my life and I have my goals and I'll attain them. So whether I get a laurel or not doesn't make a difference
doesn't
to
make
my
a
life.
Difference. Wonderful.
So coming to E, it is empowerment and enthusiasm. It is very important. It's when you are leading or when you are managing, it's not only guiding those people, it's also to help them to grow. Because when you give more responsibilities to them, this is the time they are growing. So it's not only to get things done, but also help them to grow in their career path. They'll feel more, you know, into the work, attached to it, and feel good about it. They will have a job satisfaction.
So they know that someone is here not to just squeeze me, but actually here to help me grow. Who is here to ensure that my potential is actually realized.
Because many times what has happened is, like, I've thrown few challenges to the development team. So initially they thought I was trying to squeeze them. But later on succeeding, now they came back and they told me, sir, we didn't know that we had this much potential to do this. So that feeling of happiness when they achieve, means they were happy, and in a way I was also very happy that, you know, they could grow, I could help them in growing.
And you didn't take the credit.
Obviously it was theirs. Like, how can I take the credit?
But that's what many times happens in the corporate world. And that's perhaps, if I'm not wrong, that's sometimes very demotivating factor when people tend to take credit for others' work.
See, my 7 years of stay over here, seeing the motivated teachers, their humility, I don't think so I'll ever get that thing in me. So somewhere, you know, deeply, you know, embedded in me. Because the day you start thinking that you are the doer, everything comes to an end.
And wonderful.
Then enthusiasm. It's more like that, something I said, that attitude.
Attitude,
enthusiasm,
which is contagious.
More or less same, but this enthusiasm, if you are means wherever you're working, whether it's a corporate development, manufacturing, or radio side, the enthusiasm with which you work as a team, that makes a lot of difference, because when you work as a team with the full enthusiasm, the synergy comes into place. Yes. Then 2 plus 2 is not 4 but 5. Yes. So that is what is expected. Coming to R, it is responsibility. People talk about rights, like whenever anyone gets a promotion, they try to find out what are the perks, what are the benefits and all those. They forget about the responsibilities that are added on to their shoulders. Because someone is promoted on the basis of what, you know, good work he has done on the prior role. Yes. So it's more of the responsibility that he has.
What
so,
he can deliver now.
Yeah. So the rights will automatically follow. Last but not the least is the righteousness. Dharma, honesty, integrity.
Yes.
This makes a lot of difference. Like, maybe you can mend money, but it's more important at the end of the day when you go for sleep, you get a good sleep. It's not important how soft the pillow is, or which Kallan pillow, or which mattress you are using. Even if you are sleeping on the floor, you should get a proper sleep.
Fantastic.
Talking about the ship, it is like a leader should have the capability to show his or her innate potential. The ship, S-H-I-P,
yes.
Show his or her innate potential.
Innate potential. Oh, you made an acronym of ship too. Wonderful.
So maybe, you know, just a phrase, if I have to talk about leader, leader should be a leader of a business who knows what to do, and a leader of people who knows how to get things done. So what needs to be done and how to get things done. So both are equally important.
Wonderful. So did you share your reflections on what LEADAR means with Mr. Nitin Parmar?
Yeah, I did.
You shared this?
Yeah, actually what happened when I was stuck in the flight, I didn't have anything to do. So this was something which I jotted down, and maybe during the conversation it came up when he asked me about leadership. I just told him, even actually I could not remember all the 12 things, so I missed out one or two.
What was his response when you narrated your definition of leadership?
I felt.
Yes. In fact, as you narrated this, I could not help but reflecting on the definition that Swami gave of the word manager. In our MBA days, we have studied mind of man, awareness of Atma, nature of nations, and role of rules and all that. And if you see, it's so beautifully actually maps to what you have come up now with your own experience.
And that happens, you know, unknowingly. Means it gets so much into us that those are things there within us, even if you don't realize it at a gross level.
So that was a new definition of looking at leadership. And the word leader from Sohan Datta. L for love for work and learning continuously. E for empathy and egolessness. A for attitude and acumen. D for direction and discrimination. E for empowerment and enthusiasm. R for responsibility and righteousness. And ship, as he said, show his or her innate potential. Isn't that a beautiful definition of a leader? Coming from a young executive after having worked in the corporate world for about only 4 years. In fact, if you come to think of it, it actually takes years and many mistakes to get to this understanding. But the wise, as they say, learn from others' mistakes. But for the students of Bhagwan's University, this understanding comes very early in life because they get this training with a lot of conviction and authority from the very fountainhead of all knowledge. Baba defines the word manager, M-A-N-A-G-E-R, in a very unique way, as I was recollecting with Sohan. M for mind of man, A for awareness of Atma, N for nature of nations, A for aspects of environment, G for guidelines of goodness, E for inquiry into ethos, R for role of rules. And now if we juxtapose this with what Rohan has come up with from his own experience, we see how magnificently he has unconsciously integrated all this into his definition of who is a true leader. Baba says the mind of man, the mind of manager, should have the quality of love and truth, patience and purity. And that is what Sohan said. L in leader stands for love. The second word, E, Sohan said, is for empathy, and that is what is conveyed in Baba's definition of manager. A, the second letter, stands for awareness of Atma. You empathize with the other person only when you recognize that he or she too is a unique individual, is a divine spark, that the same spirit permeates in that other person too. Then empathy becomes so natural awareness of Atma leads to empathy. Similarly, if you examine what Sohan came up with, it is really, really profound. It is so much based on what Bhagwan has defined who a manager is. Just to take another example, Sohan's definition of leader, R, stands for responsibility and righteousness. And Baba says, E and R in manager stand for inquiry into ethos and role of rules. Aren't they conveying the same thing? No surprise that Mr. Nitin Paranjapay was so impressed with what he heard from Sohan and even started making notes. Sohan told me later. So I asked Sohan how all these traits got built into his personality as he studied in Bhagwan's university. How he thought his training in Bhagwan's college helped him fare in these series of assessments that this program put him to.
So you said you went to stage 3 with a lot of diffidence, and how was it when you came out of it?
I was normal, so in the like, you know, that initial moment when each was introducing, like, you know, head of sales of South India, you know, HR manager of this MNC, then all top to people, and then I was thinking, how should I introduce myself?
Okay, you're just a project engineer.
No, that assistant project manager. Yeah, so I told as assistant project manager, and I did my, you know, MBA from Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. So many people didn't know, so they gave me a look. But after the session got over, I think so they would have gone and googled the name.
Wonderful. And in fact, I had the chance to see the assessment report that was given by this SHL company, which in partnership with Economic Times organized all this test for you, which is the Talent Management Solutions Company, SHL. And they have rated you very effective and outstanding in so many areas: deciding and initiating action, leading and supervising, working with people, relating and networking, formulating strategies and concepts. Fantastic. So all these things were the traits on which they tested you.
Yeah, means I never thought all this. I excel and, you know, I do good in all this. I never knew that. Maybe the stay over here, the work in the departments, whether it's a costume or the G Globe, maybe somehow, or the cricket field, somehow these qualities came in. I was not aware of those.
You're not even aware that you are good in all these things.
I was not aware. And so after getting the report only, I saw.
Good to know that you are good in all these things. Fantastic. So tell us, you mentioned that somehow these traits got inculcated in you because of your stay in Prashantinilam.
Both Prashantinilam and Brindavan.
And Brindavan. So can you reflect your days in Bhagwan's university?
Like, firstly, the disciplined life. Initially, coming from Calcutta after living a vagabond life, it was not easy for me to settle down here. But as God had willed, I settled down slowly.
Had you had thought of joining this university?
My parents were very keen. I was not.
Okay.
So, after joining here, even for a few days, I thought of, you know, running away.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, the discipline was too much?
Yeah, in that summer course time, like in a room which normally, you know, accommodates 14, 15, we are 50, and first time staying away from parents, that wasn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But, so even my parents or relatives were expecting that I may come back. So I thought, after summer course, I'll leave. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, I'll tell you the first thing that happened. On the first day of summer course, my parents were leaving on that day. So I thought I'll live with them. So morning, I get a first line, sat in front. Swami comes. Swami doesn't speak anything. He just looks into my eyes almost for 20 to 25 seconds.
Just looks into your eyes.
Yeah. So before heading towards the auditorium, I meet my parents and I tell them, no, I'm not leaving today. Maybe after summer course.
Okay.
So summer course.
So that ensured that you sail through the summer course.
Summer course went by. First semester went by. Even my few of my, you know, roommates, they thought that I won't come back after first semester. So 3 years in Vrindavan over, 2 years in first year MSc, went out for work, and I can came back.
And you came back. Now you're so eager to come back to
the
university.
It's like a second home. Rather, I'll prefer calling it my first home, because I feel, you know, so relaxed, so at ease when I'm here.
Beautiful. So tell us, how did this transition happen? I mean, you are so reluctant to join this university, and you were thinking of contemplating of going away from here, and now you're coming back to this university to do your PG. So when did this transition happen? When did you really start falling in love with this system and this place?
See, firstly, Swami's charisma, you know, words can't explain. That is the first thing. Second, the, you know, the teachers, the motivation, the way teachers help us, you know, the dedication level. And the ambience as such, you know, it takes you a different level. Means once you are here, I mean, you don't feel like going anywhere else. Like my wife who came here, she is a non-devotee. And I was a bit apprehensive how she will like the place because I told her many things about Parthi. Monday evening when we reached here, so Mandir was over, Mandir session was over, so I just took her around. And that night she was saying that I heard a lot of this place, this is a really nice place. But the amount you have said, but means I had a different expectation, it has not, you know, met up the expectations. I didn't say anything. Tuesday morning, when she went inside Mandir and came out, she came out and told me the first thing was that I was not feeling like coming out of the Mandir.
She said that.
She said that. Yesterday I was stuck with some work. So she did not even wait for me to go to Mandir. She went at 4 o'clock to Mandir.
4 o'clock
to Mandir. And actually we were supposed to leave yesterday for Bangalore. She only, you know, told me, pleaded me to extend it by one more day. So that's the reason I'm here.
So the same transformation is happening in her too.
So
in 3 days.
Person can get transformed in 2 days. And she was saying that, in 2 days I am feeling so much of positive vibes. Just thinking that 7 years of your stay over here, you know, what you have felt.
Wonderful. That is what, so try and articulate to our listeners your stay here, you know, the kind of things that you really cherish about your stay in the hostel, your interactions with Bhagwan. You know, some of those memories which you can never ever forget, which are your eternal sources of connection to this place.
And those are the best days of my life. Life has its own ups and downs. So whenever there is some upsetting factor or something, what I do, either I play some old video with Swami something, or I try to recollect the moments, the Mandir interactions with Swami or in hostel. So, you know, and within few minutes or something, all those upsetting factors just vanishes off. In the hostel, the different activities, the engrossment level which we were in, staying, you know, so many people in the same room, like a minimum of 8 to maximum of 14, the understanding and adjustment that gets in, it helps a lot. Even day-to-day life, it helps us a lot, whether in office or in home or interacting with many relatives. You try to understand each person.
So was it difficult for you initially trying and living with 8 or 14 people in a hostel environment?
Maybe for the first few days of summer course when we were around 50-55 in a room.
At that time, yes.
Yeah.
Because all were accommodated in the Brindavan hostel.
But within few days, you know, we became so good friends all together. The bonding, the rapport that built. So that was amazing. Like something I miss every moment. And whenever I think about hostel, I really try to relive those moments. And maybe that is the reason, at least I make it a point that at least once in every month I'm back here in Parthi.
Once in every month you want to be back?
I mean, in Bangalore,
so you can drive down. Wonderful. So this whole aspect of living with so many people and understanding them, earlier you mentioned about one of the traits of a leader is empathy. And you know, you want to think like the other person. So I think those things got in some way inculcated living in the hostel.
I'm telling you the list of, you know, traits, leadership traits that they have evaluated me on and the results they have sent. I was never ever this way there in me.
They just got into your personality.
Yeah, so I mean, why me any student of this place, if they take part in any of the competition, they will excel. So there is no doubt, I'm no one special. I'm just an ordinary student who graduated from this place.
No matter what the students imbibe in Sathya Sai University, from the colleges, from the lectures in the university, or from the community living that happens in the hostel, it is really surpassed with what gets ingrained in their personalities directly from the Divine Master himself. And as Sohan was saying, for him too, those moments with Bhagwan are something which he can never, ever forget. Moments which have truly made him what he is today. Let me give you more glimpses of that special learning that happened with Sohan
during his stay in Bhagwan's university.
Tell us about your moments with Bhagwan that you can never forget. I know there are so many, but maybe you can pick a few for this session.
Yeah, there are many moments, but maybe one or two I'll share now. First, a moment that Swami scolded me in my dreams. That was in the first year, first semester. And I had a very bad habit of, means before exam I just used to flip through the pages. I never used to practice or solve any problems, even physics, numericals. I used to just flip through the pages and go and write the exam. So it was mid-semester exam, the night before physics test. Swami comes in my dreams and Swami literally blasts me. And he tells me that henceforth every day or whenever before exam should write and practice. And morning when I got up, means after the dream, I was literally sweating. Because I was
just
so
like
scared.
A severe reprimand.
Severe. Means
you have
means
to
I
write.
I can still remember how he, scolded me in the dream. And believe me, henceforth, my grades or my marks always kept on increasing. And I never lost that habit of, writing and practicing before exams. So that was one thing, maybe the students all across the world who don't follow this. This is something which Swami had told me in my dream and which has helped me a lot. And next is a very beautiful moment, very close to my heart. That was in 2007, 17th of March, if I'm not wrong. It was a gratitude day when we came to Mandir, batch, Prema batch, to offer our gratitude to Swami. And for that occasion, I had made a heart for Swami. And so when my turn came, I went to Swami to give that heart. That was a big heart, red heart, decorated. And on that it was written, my properties, proper ties. Swami keeps saying my students are my properties. And the proper bonding, proper ties. So I went and showed it to Swami. Swami was very happy. It was, Swami, this is the heart of your students, your property. So Swami was very happy. And then I told Swami, you want to know what is there inside the heart of your students? And then there was a small opening. From there came out another small heart, which was connected to the bigger heart with a golden thread. And in that small heart, there was Swami's photo. And Swami, in every student's heart, you are there. That joy in Swami's face, I can never forget. That small memory, I can cherish throughout life and I can be happy. And then I said, Swami, it's always that you give us everything. Can you please keep the heart with you? And believe me, for the whole program, Swami sat with that heart in his hand.
He kept that card on his lap.
This was not a card. It was a heart made up of, cloth and some cotton stuffing. So for the full program, Swami was resting his, hand on that heart.
Wow.
So as the program got over, Harish took Swami inside the interview room. And suddenly I saw Harish brother coming running towards the portico. And while taking Swami inside, he had kept the heart.
Swami had left it outside.
So Swami had told him to get the heart. So he took the heart and got back to the interview room. So maybe those small moments, it makes a lot of difference.
And there is such a symbolic moment to know that this connection is so solid, so strong, and you always connect to it.
Everyone, every individual has a unique relationship with Swami.
Talk about your Vrindavan days. Were there any moments? Because you were involved in so many extracurricular activities too. Sports meet and I don't know how many more.
Yeah, adventure sports and all those. That was something very nice which has helped me a lot in my growth. Like for this adventure sports, if someone says that he's not afraid or he doesn't fear anything, maybe I don't agree to it. Fear is somewhere there in everyone's heart. And while whether doing bike instance or the celestial rhythm or carabining, somewhere maybe in the first stage or initial stage, somewhere heart missed a bit. But the best part was even if Swami was there to take care. I mean, the fear is like, it comes in for a jiffy and it goes off because that Almighty is there. He'll take care.
The power behind you, the force behind you is so strong.
That has helped me to become more courageous, to take more bold decision. Even, refer to the decision of higher management where I feel that values are getting compromised.
So you're fearless to stand on your principles.
Yes, stand against things which I feel is not correct or which my conscience doesn't permit.
Have you done that in your corporate
life? Yeah, many times I've done that. And there was an incident in Wipro that there was an escalation going on and I was stuck to what I had said. Because I knew it was not wrong. So it went to the complete higher management, and the practice head had a meeting with me and the people involved. Maybe he resonated with the values and he took my side, and so Swami took care of the whole thing. So which seemed to be escalation, and maybe I would have lost my job, you know, turned into my favor.
I think once you are firm in your values, somewhere you are going to get that help.
Yeah, means you know that you will be put through grueling tests.
Yes.
Swami will ensure, but that is for your growth. That is for making you more stronger. But you know at the end of it, he is there to take care if you are on the right path.
And you have seen enough of such.
Yeah, enough of that. So no doubt regarding that.
More convinced now. So all that you learnt in the theory classes, sitting in the Department of Management Studies in Prashant Nilayam, was not just theory. It does work.
Yeah, it does work. It does work in real life.
So that is how the Supreme Teacher touches and transforms, mends and molds, and this molding is permanent in these personalities who joins the portals of Bhagwan's university. It stays for an entire lifetime and maybe beyond. And this learning never stops too. It can happen anywhere, in any form, at any time and in any way. It has not stopped even now. So on that day narrated another beautiful incident which is really absolutely amazing.
It was year 2004. So during the sports meet time while doing bike stunt, I had injured myself. Means I had a muscle tear, or rather a soft tissue injury, which was troubling me a lot. So I kept on having this painkillers without realizing, you know, how much, you know, critical it was. So maybe 2 or 3 months I went on like that. Then finally I didn't have any other option rather than meeting the doctor. So Dr. Sundareshan checked me, diagnosed me, and even he blasted me. Said that being a literate, educated, how could you postpone to come to a doctor for 3 to 4 months? So then I was told to go for physiotherapy, which went on almost for 3 weeks. And for next 6 months, I was not supposed to lift anything with my left hand. But cricket is something which I'm very passionate about. And being in third year and leading your side, and if you can't play the match, now, it would have been really saddening for me. So there was a practice session going on. So I felt that pain has reduced. So I walked in the practice session. But after playing few balls, again the pain increased. And so that was a time neither I could have gone to the doctor, nor to the physiotherapist, nor could I have told the warden, that time is Nasimurthy, nor my parents. They would have been worried. So I was just praying to Swami. The pain was really bad. So 29th August, I still remember the day. So Swami comes into my dream, and I see that Swami is sitting in this portico, and that in that dream, that time railings were also not there. So I get up and I tell Swami, Swami, I'm having a pain, this is the thing. Swami just listens, Swami doesn't say anything. So again, I go back and sit in my place. And then Swami was heading towards the interview room. He was about to enter the interview room when he calls me. So I go running to Swami. And everything happens in a dream. Then Swami waves his hand twice. And he creates some, you know, pills, cream color pills, and gives it to me. And I have it there. And next morning when I get up, until date, my left arm hand never pained again.
Cured.
Cured. And
completely cured.
Completely. And the icing on the cake was, and the final match we won.
Wow.
Swami gifted us with t-shirts.
So you got your cricket bag also.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Fantastic. So I think one common thing which I have heard from many alumni whom we have interviewed for this program, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, you know, is one thing which distinguishes them is this level of confidence. Because you always feel that, you know, whatever problem you may have to face in
someone
life,
someone is there to
someone
take
is
it.
There. So that kind of relieves
so
you.
Means, believe me, means whether it's a small problem or big problem, you can always give it to him and say, Swami, I'm doing total surrender, you take care. And you can...
As they say, you know, when there's a problem, you should not say, oh God, I have a problem. You should say, oh problem, I have a big God. And I think that is something which really helps you to take risks, helps you to be cool in all circumstances.
yeah, maybe that is a real fact. And maybe in a daily life, knowingly or unknowingly, we take many risks only on the faith that He'll take care.
He'll take care. And He does.
And He does. Maybe that's the reason why it is so concrete. That's the way we can take daily risks.
Yeah.
So that is the most unique asset of every Sai student, the special armor that every student of this university has, the confidence in himself or herself. The self-confidence with a capital S. You can take up any challenge because you know that the power propelling you, the energy that will safeguard you, the force that will always stand by you is far greater than what anyone can imagine. With that confidence comes fearlessness and courage and positive outlook. And with such a temperament, there is no failure in life. Every setback, even every challenge, every stone is actually a stepping stone. And Soman experienced this too during his young leaders program. It was not as if there were no challenges, but how everything was ultimately not a challenge, but another opportunity to excel, another opportunity to know that you are not the doer, is really fascinating.
So let me go back to how it all began. So what really told you or inspired you to join this competition?
Actually, I was neither keen nor interested, but few of my friends were telling me. So on their request, I took the first round, which was an online. So that was very casually I took it. I was never serious about it. And when the results came, I got a mailer that I have been, you know, shortlisted the first round to move to the second round. Then something blinked. I thought, okay, I'll go for the next round. So that time I was in Bangalore, and that was a prometric test. So I had to go to the center, and it was this one: numerical, verbal, data interpretation, and some leadership traits. And to solve those complex problems which I forgotten long back, I needed a CALSI, and there they won't allow those mobile phones to be used. So I had asked one of my colleague to bring a scientific calculator, but as destined, she forgot. So evening, the day when I was heading towards this center for appearing for this test, I was thinking it was futile to go, and because without a CALSIC solving those complex problem and within the timeline,
can't do it without a CALSIC.
So it was scheduled at 6:30 p.m. and I was supposed to reach there at 6. It was 5:50 when I get a call from one of my ex-colleague. My friend asked where I was heading towards because there was a lot of noise. So I told that I was going for this assessment, but then I told it's of no use. And then she asked me why. Then I told I don't even have a calculator for writing that exam. Next, what happens was very interesting, which I came to know later on, that she called up one of her friends who did not have the CALSI, but his roommate had the calculator, who could found out from his suitcase that moment, but he had a call to attend, so he could not come to give it. So one more roommate of his, no one knows me, came down on a bike to give me the calculator. So before I entered the assessment center, I had a CALSI.
Oh my God.
And this is the time when you feel that, you know, how Swami is helping you. Without his intervention, the person whom she called, that person did not have a calculator. His roommate had, he could find it out from his suitcase. And then the other person came and delivered within 10 minutes. You know, it's a divine lila, means.
Yes. When it has to happen, Swami ensures that it happens and he connects all the dots.
And after that, phase 3 also, there were many big shots. Initially, I was feeling a bit diffident when each one was introducing themselves. So I was feeling like a Lilliput. But once things started, some, I think, the Swami took over and things just went on fine.
So phase 3 was this round of group discussions?
There were divided into few rounds, which was very interesting. And the final day, you know, the way Swami did things, like 2 hours delay, directly going to the flight, caught off guard. But had that not happened, I would not thought about the leadership part.
Yes. In retrospect, when you see, everything has panned out according to his plan.
It's not planned. It's like a master plan.
Master plan.
Lord himself.
So So after having experienced the visible and invisible benediction of the Divine Master, it is but natural for the alumni of this institute to think how to translate all this grace and love into concrete action. And many, apart from excelling and distinguishing themselves in whatever they do in their professional life, also take up other projects which could help make the lives of other disadvantaged people in the society better. It could help the condition of those who need help. And some do it in individual capacity, others join the SAI organization, yet others work in other social service organizations, and there are those who start their own welfare groups and associations. And Sohan Datta was no exception to this.
It so happened was that few of our alumni there in Calcutta, we came up together. So initially started the small project to make Swami happy. It was like a water distribution project. On the weekends, we used to go out in cars, distribute cold water to the traffic police who, you know, irrespective of the scorching heat, does their duty, and also the pedestrians who were thirsty. This went on for a few weeks. Summer was over, so our work got over. So we wanted to do something more. So that Josh was there, and that fulfillment of doing something for Swami had already gotten. So that in July first week, I came down here, and
this is which year?
2009.
July 2009.
Actually, we found out something that in Calcutta, or rather in West Bengal, there were many youth who were educated but unemployed. So we were trying to find out the gap. Why was this happening? So we could, you know, trace that it was happening because though they are educated, but they are not groomed enough to fit in the corporate culture. So we wanted to do a grooming session and help them in getting jobs. July 1st week I was here, so just showed the blueprint to Swami, and Swami graciously blessed it. So we communicated that to the state presidents and vice president, and they told that it has to be done on 13th of September. But time was too less because it was just a blueprint. Neither venue nor the facilitators or faculty or even the applicants or the age group from where we'll pick, whom we'll get, nothing was decided. But when, you know, God wills, who can stop it? So things just fell in place. Everything was streamlined. And 13 September, that Sai Grace, we call that program, was a gala success. And since there were so many applicants, we could not accommodate all in the first session. So we had to have many more sessions. So we had few more districts in West Bengal. And after the end of the whole day training, we did a training aid analysis and categorized, you know, students on different merit and trained them later on. And the best part was, by Swami's grace, so many got employed.
So many got employed?
Yeah.
You were actually grooming them. You arranged for their placement also.
Not arranged. We helped the networking and the Sai alumni and all those.
You facilitated their employment. Wonderful. I think that was probably a very fulfilling moment.
Very fulfilling. And 2010, the January, the 1st January when we came here for the alumni meet, and the 2nd January when we had a session inside Poonachandra. And when as a group with the card, when we went to Swami, the smile on his face, you know, nothing could have given us more happiness. Than that
smile on his face.
So those are lovely memories of a service initiative in Kolkata. The happiness that service brings cannot be compared with anything else in this world. And this is something that gets inside you very strongly when you are a student of Bhagwan's University. I started this program about Sohan Datta, India's emerging young leader, making a few comments about how it is so very important in these times to have leaders who are change makers, leaders who, as they say, do not follow where the path may lead, but go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Towards the end of this conversation with Sohan Datta, I asked him what, according to him, is the most challenging aspect of being a leader in the current times.
Let me go back to leadership. You are a young leader of India. Let me ask you this. What do you believe is the most difficult aspect of being a leader in today's times?
So difficult aspect of being a leader? It's
yes.
Really a difficult question. Firstly, the difficulty levels of the aspects are subjective to situations and scenarios. So you can't say that this is difficult, this is more difficult, this is most difficult. Maybe how the situation or the scenario builds up. Like maybe a simple example will be the value system of yours and your boss or your managers are in sync. Maybe like it is not a problem. But if it is not in sync, that can be a major problem, major issue.
Yes.
So it depends, the scenario specific. But if I have to list a few, in my opinion, it would be age in execution. Like knowing what needs to be done is from business perspective, but getting things done is not that easy.
The edge that you
must... Age in execution. And that comes from, you know, maybe two things, I say. The right people for the right job. If those are not aligned, means until the goal of the individual and the goal of the work is aligned, things won't work.
Yes.
And second is like synchronizing the efforts and energy of the team. Because the synergy which I was talking about,
yes,
the 2 plus 2 comes out to be 5 rather than 4.
Yes.
So that is very important. Because like each individual has a different motivation factor. Like no 5 fingers are not same. Some person may get motivated by high package, someone may get motivated by empowerment, someone may have some other criteria. So to understand the person's motivation level and try to make that person important and make him understand how his role is going to impact the superordinate goal.
Yes.
So that is a big challenge.
Subordination of individual interest for group interest, for society's interest.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the, I remember this is the first management principle, or false management principle that you learn when you start learning business, and this is so fundamental.
Yeah, but it's so basic and so important.
Yes.
In for the success. Maybe second thing, zooming in and zooming out, because there will be situations which will require you to zoom into details, and there will be situation where you need to look only from the helicopter view. Making the decision when to get into details, when to make your hands dirty and when to, you know, leave it to others. That is something not easy. Even I am trying to learn, maybe with passage of time, I hope I'll be able to learn better or master it. But as of now, I'm a novice in that. One more very important thing is like, as I was mentioning before, is like to be, to do and to tell. Means you walk the talk. It's very easy to, you know, speak many jargons and give speeches. But when it comes to daily life, if the peers or the team members doesn't see you practicing and only giving bhashans, it doesn't work.
And I think that is something that we saw in Bhagwan, leading by example. For 70 years, he came every single day for darshan. I think just for this, just for that fact itself, it's something phenomenal. Absolutely.
Same thing, you won't believe me. Today morning also, I was thinking on the same line. Means had it been any other individual, how boring it had been. But just thinking of everyone, how a person can go out of his self-interest only for the, you know, sake of others. So it's an epitome, like, and if he can emulate him or incorporate his teachings, maybe nothing like that, you know.
Every discipline becomes easy, actually.
Yeah. Once then it is not a discipline.
Not a discipline.
Means that normally the discipline has a negative connotation in many places.
By discipline, I meant every discipline of life. Yes. And then the discipline that is needed for that area of work, I think it no more remains a discipline as you mentioned.
Yes. Then it becomes life is beautiful.
Life is beautiful. Beautiful. I think the two concepts that I always feel are so important for, I think for anyone, be it a manager or anyone else, is this principle of love, which translates into empathy, sympathy, whatever you may call it, and this principle of ego. If you can reduce your ego and if you know how to love, I think
it takes care of everything.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sohan, for coming over to the studios and sharing your thoughts. Finally, what would you like to say to all the other alumni of Bhagwan's institutions? Because as you mentioned, there are so many other your classmates and other alumni of Bhagwan's institutions who you feel could have also joined for this competition. What would you like to say to all of them?
I think so, I'm too small a person to say something, but I'll just try to appeal to all my brothers. Like maybe this is a time when we should take lead in every frontier for the betterment of the society. It's like Swami always focused on the youth, the students, and always wanted us to be the change elements. maybe these are some platforms or pedestals where our students get recognized and people come to know that an organization or an institution of this exists. Because normally outside people only talk in terms of ROI, RR, IRR, NPV. But
return on investment and all this.
All talks about the profitabilities and all this, but not many talk about the humanness, which is a very important aspect of not only life but business also for its survival. I will just request all of them, maybe like the way initially I was not willing to take part, but on the coaxing and the forcing of my friends, I took part. If we can take part willingly and make Swami proud, because we are nowhere inferior to anyone outside. Rather, the amount he has invested in us, we are much more superior human beings and we are his instruments for the changing the society. And if we can give this, offer this as in gratitude to Swami, I think so he'll be very happy.
So that was Sohan sharing with us one of the keys to become a leader, to be, to do and to tell. To put it in Baba's words, the harmony of thought, word and deed. The famous author Stephen Covey says, what you do has far greater impact than what you say. But even more important than what we do, I think, is what we are. Whether a leader is one straight personality or does he have two or multiple personalities. These days we come across people, celebrities and other personalities who are lauded and adored by the younger generation for years together for their talent or achievements and accomplishments, and suddenly comes a shocking revelation about their life or their lifestyle and the youth feel, oh my God, how foolish I have been looking at this person as my idol. And then they begin to get disillusioned about life. This is what happens to so many, and we have seen this time and again in today's times. That is why Baba always mentions that what is most important for any leader is first individual character and then national character. Bill Gates says, as we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. True. Leaders need to empower others. But to empower others, the leaders must first have empowered themselves. They must have bolstered their personalities with these two pillars, individual character and national character, both of which are so important. And as Baba always insists, they have to lead by example. There is no shortcut to you first doing what you want others to do. This is what will inspire them more than what you say or what you do or what you speak. You have to first do. And lastly, for any leader, the goal of life should be very clear. I asked Sohan what he thinks is his goal of life.
Do you have ideas as we go forward now in your corporate career? In what way you think you will want to make a difference?
Being very frank and honest, I've not given much thought about it. But after I came to know the results, only thing I prayed to Swami is if I can be an ideal instrument in His hand and if He can guide me through for His mission. That is only thing I prayed. So I have not thought anything beyond this as of now.
Wonderful. You just want to be egoless and let Him take over.
There cannot be anything higher or nobler than aspiring to be used by the Lord in any way He thinks is fit. Whatever dreams we may have, whatever plans we may have harbored, to always live with the feeling that there is someone higher in charge is in fact the sign of an enlightened man, and there cannot be anything more wise than aligning oneself with that power which is invincible and insurmountable, and at the same time the power and the being who is most merciful. Swami Vivekananda once said, what the world wants today is 20 men and women who can dare to stand in the street yonder and declare that they possess nothing but God. Who will go? That was his clarion call. And one listens, when one listens to Sai alumni, like Sohan and hundreds of Sai youth spread in different countries and continents, who are convinced of leading a life that lives and breathes, not for themselves but for others, one is only simply thrilled. When Bhagwan Baba inaugurated this unique university on November 22, 1981, he clearly stated the meaning and purpose of education. The end of education is character, and character consists of eagerness to renounce one's selfish greed. Persons without a good character cannot claim to be educated ones. Swami said, in these words of Bhagwan, we find echoed the thoughts of many enlightened world leaders of the modern era. It was Lincoln who said, character is like a tree and reputation like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. And it was Swami Shivananda who said, the quintessence of man is his character. So a character-focused system of education is not a novel idea. In fact, it is as old as the mountains. There are many schools in India today and elsewhere which for years have been engaged in inculcating morality in young minds. But what is really exciting about the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning is that it is only here that value education is passionately imparted and pursued with great success at the university level. When a child grows into a young adult, impressing values is something parents shy away from. No one wants to touch the young adults. Parents shy away from, teachers prefer to bypass, and institutions either do not have this in their agenda or presume it's an impossible idea to implement. It is in this respect that Bhagwan's university has achieved what it has in the last 30 years is really commendable and path-breaking. In the words of Sri R. Venkatraman, the former president of India, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning is a venue of higher behavior and a seat of higher understanding. This deemed to be university is in fact the dream university envisioned by Swami, envisioned by all those great leaders of the past, Swami Vivekananda, Sri Aurobindo, Mahatma Gandhi, and so on. What is it that has made this bold experiment so successful? As a former warden of the Vrindavan campus, Mr. B.N. Narasimhamurthy once said, it is the infinite love of Bhagwan for his students that has made all the difference. Selfless love, that is what it is. In a nutshell, that is what has enabled this institution to be what it is today. It is only through the cultivation of love that man can find fulfillment, Swami says. And this Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning is an experiment of this love in action in the sphere of education. And Sohan is one such smiling and shining product of this experiment. And there are many like this, many Sohans spread all over the globe, and let us hope that these shining lights, wherever they are, soon unite and create a brilliance that drives away the darkness of iniquity, the darkness of restlessness, and the darkness of instability from this world and from all our lives. With this prayer, dear listeners, and leaving you this to ruminate upon, it's time now for me to wind up this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. You're listening to this Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. Please do write to us and tell what you felt about this program, because we really look forward to your comments to improve our offerings. We want to make them such that you are happy and Bhagwan is pleased. If you want to listen to this program, you can do so at your convenience. You can just download it from our website. You go to the Thursday Live Archives of RadioSai.org and download this program. outside, inside, and deep inside, February 21st, and listen at your convenience. Please do listen and pass on. Let's pass on the good news, and let's ensure that this goodness spreads and envelops everyone around us and around the whole world. As I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the children from Sathya Sai Schools on 3rd September 2010. Sai Vidya, Sarasa Vidya. That is the title of this program. It was presented in front of Bhagwan in 2010. And you will now, as I sign off, will continue to listen to this. So enjoy listening this. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving sidearm from Prashant Nilayam.